Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. Today I'm your host, Peter, joined by Raj coming in from Montreal.
What's up, Peter?
And Big J coming out of the mean streets of Barrhaven.
Yo.
Well, it's official, guys. Cleveland brought out, the staff, I guess, brought out the brooms because there was a sweep on Friday night. And it looks like we're all done with the NBA season this year as we've declared the Golden State Warriors the champs. Raj, why don't you start us off, man? What'd you think of, I don't know, how the Cavs performed or how Golden State just trampled all over them?
All right, Peter. Well, I'm going to make this segment really brief, just as brief as the NBA Finals were. Overall, I thought that this was expected. I thought the real big storyline of the NBA Finals was, what's LeBron going to do this offseason? And instead of focusing on how the Warriors had won their third championship in 4 years and how they're becoming a dynasty, I think it was something that all NBA fans, everyone in the media, even casual fans were expecting this. I thought the Cavs did play pretty well considering how inferior they were as a team compared to the Warriors. And at the end of the day, the only real sad part about this is there's not going to be any NBA for the next 4 or 5 months, and we're probably going to have this whole LeBron James saga until he tells us where he's going next. But I was expecting a little more from the finals, but can't win them all.
Yeah, and hopefully he makes his decision very brief and he makes it on July 1st or a couple of days afterwards. We don't have to wait 2 weeks in a free agency. But for me, the biggest disappointment about the finals is that the exact same two teams who have been in the finals the last 3 years made it for a fourth year in a row. And the biggest, most telling stat that I found after the series was over was that Cleveland was the first team since New Jersey Nets in 2002, I believe, to have a negative point differential through the four rounds, meaning that their opposition scored more points than them overall in the playoffs. That hasn't happened for the last 16 years for a team that made it to the finals. And that just shows that this team wasn't a championship-level team, obviously, and a team that should have made the finals in the first place. So, obviously, as a fellow Toronto Raptors fan, it disappoints me to see that they went down in a sweep to the Cavs in a year that they should have definitely beat them. And Boston, too, to be honest, with their talent. So it's disappointing to see these two same teams in the finals. I mean, there was 2 out of 4 good games, but overall, it wasn't a great series, obviously.
Would you have been mad if Golden State made it for 4 years straight, but they had different opponents?
No, I mean, that doesn't bother me at all. Like, even though Golden State is the most hated team in the NBA right now with their dominance, I enjoy watching them play. I mean, they're absolutely amazing to watch. They're so fun to watch, even though, everyone hates on Kevin Durant and, his decision, obviously. But in terms of the actual overall gameplay, like, they're probably the funnest team to watch still in the NBA. And honestly, this will be a lot better than, like, watching Houston and Cleveland just, matchup hunting the entire game.
Yeah, they have characters on their team, and they have personalities. And obviously, a lot of fans don't like some of these players and kind of their antics. But as Josh mentioned, they're like definitely one of the best teams to ever set foot on the court together. And when we look back on this Golden State team, we're definitely going to consider them one of the best teams ever to play. I would argue they're a top three team, pushing for the best team ever assembled. And at the end of the day, the Cavs had a chance in the previous finals. I think the disappointing thing this year was, like, they literally were expected to win 0 games. And when that happened, it was it was expected. And even the way the Warriors celebrated, like, yeah, it's nice to win a third championship out of four. And of course, they did it in convincing fashion. And it wasn't the easiest path for them with injuries and getting pushed to seven games by Houston. But at the end of the day, like, that celebration, it didn't mean as much as any of the other ones. And it kind of seemed a bit tame because it was expected.
Yeah, to be honest, their celebrations haven't been that fun over the past few years, right? Like, with a leader like Steph, who's obviously like a churchgoer and that kind of stuff, and like Iguodala, basically, their celebrations have been so boring. It's basically only like Draymond and Klay that have been hype. You know what I mean? Like, Klay's just like talking about like trying to get beers all the time. Draymond's obviously Draymond. And this year you had like Jordan Bell dancing beside Adam Silver when he was presenting them with a trophy, which was hilarious. But that was it. You know what I mean? Like, they're so tame.
Yeah, the two funniest things that I saw in the celebration was Klay Thompson eating popcorn while talking to the ESPN guys on SportsCenter. And then there was a shot of KD and Curry coming off the plane with their trophies, KD having the MVP, and then Steph holding the championship, obviously. And then behind them was Draymond holding a bag of Cheetos. That was pretty awesome.
Now, I actually have that's probably a point that I think was interesting to like talk about is who really deserved the finals MVP. Because I don't disagree with the fact that Durant got it, but I think there was a serious case for Steph to get this year's MVP.
Nah, I don't even think it was close. I mean, Durant was better in terms of points, rebounds, assists, and efficiency. And I think he just played better overall throughout the course of the four games. Steph had his moments, obviously, but KD was just better.
I think, yeah, I could see why you would want KD. It's like all logic points towards KD in terms of his statistical performance and just with like how he carried the team in Game 3 especially. But in Game 1, like, that was clearly Steph's game. So the way I've boiled it down in my mind was just like who had which game belong to them. Right, so Game 2 was obviously a Steph game. Game 3 was obviously KD. So it's only Game 1 and Game 4 that you would have to really think about with that logic. Game 4, you had KD with his, like, really quiet triple-double. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even realize he was there. And then Steph was chucking everything he could. And then, so, like, you know, it's up in the air at that point. I don't know. I would have picked Steph. It was up to me because he is still the leader of the team. Everything still revolves around him. But I could see why it's KD. I wouldn't agree with it though.
Yeah, like again, like it's hard to argue against KD getting it. But I thought Steph was the game breaker, especially in Game 2 and Game 3 as well. Like he was on fire. Like it's so demoralizing in Game 2 when the Cavs were playing, and like he'd be looking at his own shot clock on the opposite end of the court and chucking the ball into the back of the net. And it was going swish, so like you're not going to win a game when he's shooting like that. But besides that, like at the end of the day, I'm hoping for different teams to be pushing next year. I really hope that the NBA looks a bit different because if nothing changes, watching the Warriors go for a fifth straight year to the finals, although they do play great basketball, like it would just get very redundant.
Well, I think the good news is that the Cavs aren't going to be there next year unless they make a huge lineup change and they actually retain LeBron. So even though it might still be LeBron versus Golden State, it might be a whole new matchup with LeBron either going to, you know, L.A., Boston potentially now, which is in the news, which I don't think is going to happen because they had to trade Kyrie, which would be a whole other yeah, story, obviously.
That would be hilarious. If they traded Kyrie to get LeBron after just trading for him, that would be so funny.
But going back to a previous topic point, who do you think, in terms of the overall spectrum of the NBA, who do you think is a better team between Golden State 2017, 2018, or even 16-17 versus like the Lakers from 2001 when they went 16-1 in the playoffs, or the Boston Celtics circa 1986, or I guess MJ's Bulls in 96 or 97? Who would you take? Who's your number one team overall? Or who would be the number one seed if you were to, you know, rank them in terms of classic teams?
Well, I guess the first thing you'd want to do is to compare it to their own era, right? Like, the team's dominance in comparison to everyone else at their time.
Because if you're just going to go, like, raw numbers, then you're obviously taking Golden State over any other team because they shoot the most threes and actually hit them. I don't know. I would put Golden State and, like, the 96 to 98 Bulls on par with each other. And then all the other ones I'd put in, like, the tier below.
Yeah, I think the key thing, though, is you have to see which Golden State team out of the last 4 years was the best. And I would say last year's Golden State team was the best team that they had assembled. And even though they had to win the finals in five, I think playing a Cavs team with Kyrie was clearly a more superior opponent that they had to beat. At the end of the day, I think the way the Warriors play and the way they shoot the three, and they have players that can defend. They have a defensive player of the year candidate. They have Klay Thompson, which I would argue is probably top two-way shooting guard in the league. And they have Steph Curry, who's obviously just out of this world, one of the best scorers in the game, and KD. Like, it's hard to beat a team that's that stacked. And they actually have a lot of key role players like Iguodala and Livingston, dare I say, JaVale McGee, who play their important roles. So, like, I don't even think it's much of a debate. I think maybe the 96 Bulls would be the next team up, but I think Golden State could beat them.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see. Hopefully in the next couple of years it happens to where, like, one of the, you know, dominant big men in the NBA, whether that's Embiid or Anthony Davis, gets a really good team around them and plays Golden State in the finals, to where we actually see if that small ball lineup can handle one of those guys when they actually have help. I mean, they played AD in the second round, obviously, but obviously the team around him, like, he has maybe four or five good players around him, and that's it. So when you compare eras, it's hard to obviously compare them to, like, 2001 LA team, but just to see what they would do against a guy like Shaq, if they would actually play Draymond him, like, you know, the Chicago Bulls did with Rodman, that would be really cool to see.
Well, to be fair, Philly's going to get LeBron this summer, so, you know, we'll probably end up seeing that next year anyways.
Are we going down that path, Peter?
Who knows, man? We're, like, I don't know. Where do you think LeBron's going to end up? I don't think LeBron knows at this point also, right? I'm pretty sure he's trying to figure out everything that he has to do. Or how to finagle the whole league to make it easier for himself.
He's definitely hitting up WhatsApp with his boys and trying to see where they can all assemble. Like, that's definitely happening right this moment.
They've got, like, a giant free agent, like, group chat. Tim, Paul, for George, sure. DeMarcus. KD is there just out of, like, a technicality.
Honestly, I think LeBron's going to stay in the East. I tried to envision him going to a team in the West, and there's only certain teams he could go to that would make sense in terms of where he wants to live, and he wants to win, and that's probably the most important thing, where he's going to win and where he wants to live. And, like, the Lakers come up, the Spurs come up here and there, the Rockets, because clearly they're the closest team in the West to push the Warriors. And then in the East, it really comes down to Boston or Philly, because no other team is really, like, set up to push for that title. I think Philly doesn't have the allure of a big market like LA does. And I think Boston has the whole issue of him kind of following Kyrie around.
Problem is they'd have to trade Kyrie in order to get him. So it wouldn't work.
Unless Danny Ainge just sneaks the whole situation, which I don't see happening.
You have to trade Kyrie back to the Cavaliers. Yeah. It would never happen. So that's not happening.
That would be hilarious.
I don't really get where the Boston rumors come up anyway. I mean, you also forgot about the Toronto Raptors rumors too. I mean, come on.
Yeah, how would you?
Who wouldn't want to go to Toronto?
How would you do
if you
with that,
can
Josh?
Beat them? Join them, right?
If you're as, like, a diehard Toronto fan, how would you feel about that?
I would be very, very happy. Our team would finally make the finals and lose to Golden State. It'd be great.
Would you relieve your hate of LeBron?
I would sort of brush it aside for the team. So I wouldn't really clap when he scored baskets and made big plays, but...
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I'd be happy the team
would
be
number one fanboy.
Yeah, I'd be fighting myself, man.
We would definitely be getting you a jersey, like, the moment it happens.
No, I like Norman Powell better.
Yeah, relax.
So let's really go through the list of teams briefly, that he could join. In the East, there's really only the 76ers. There's no other team that's really set up to win that's going to push the Warriors.
No, it's either Philly or he stays in Cleveland and makes them do like a full like makeover of the team.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes west, he's not going to Houston. Let's just get that out of the way, man.
Houston has to have got their entire team. They have to get rid of Capella, get rid of Ariza. They have three really awesome players and then a bunch of like minimum contract guys.
I don't see that happening. And also, I don't see him going to a smaller market team. Like, there are a few teams out there that I think have interesting pieces that could definitely help LeBron win. But I think LeBron wants to win right now, and he wants to play in a big market. I was thinking along the lines, if he had pieces like what Minnesota had, that would be interesting. But he does want to play in Minnesota. Let's get that straight. I honestly think the Lakers are where he's going to go if he does go to the West. But then again, there's a lot of pressure playing on Kobe's team and having to play with players that haven't really proven themselves in the playoffs. So,
yeah, that's the other thing. I don't think he can go into Kobe's shadow either.
Yeah, that's a big shadow.
Yeah, that's an awful decision to make. He would probably like trump Kobe's shadow, but you know. It's not a good idea. I think it'll be the Clippers if he goes east. Or if he goes west, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the one dark horse, even though it sounds crazy, is the Clippers, because they have Jerry West, and they're going to have a ton of cap space, and they have, you know, picks, they have young players, they have packages they can put through to get Kawhi, too. So I think they're another team that could possibly end up getting him.
Yeah, but I think LeBron wants to play on the Clippers, because, like, the Clippers are like the Islanders to the Rangers. Like, they're like the Angels to the Dodgers. Like, they're always going to be the smaller team. Even though they're in the big market, in the same market, they're just the smaller team.
And only until LeBron and Paul George go there, man.
Paul George is going to go with the purple and gold.
I think he could be convinced. He just wants to be in LA, man. He wants that big market. He wants to be close to home. He can just play with LeBron. Have DJ in the center position, and then you'll still have, like, who will run the point? Beverly, Teodosic, two guys who will hit open shots? That'd be great. If LeBron knows...
Yeah, and the one team that doesn't have cap space to where he could have gone there and cemented his legacy as the GOAT would have been the Knicks. But it's just too bad that they signed Joakim Noah and Tim Hardaway for a gazillion dollars for the last two seasons, or else they would have been an option this offseason for sure.
Oh my god. They traded.
Can you imagine him going to the Knicks and like, yeah, can you imagine like going to the Knicks and like winning a championship after, you know, only making the playoffs, what, one time in the last, or two times in the last 22 years? It's crazy.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
And plus, like, LeBron versus the New York media would be amazing as well. Just like the whole, the era around, you know, Madison Square Garden and, you know, LeBron taking over that team would have been amazing, but it's too bad that's not going to happen now.
Imagine LeBron versus Frank Isola. Oh
my god. Yeah, that would be a whole other rivalry.
Oh man. The sassiness levels would be through the roof. It'd be like if Skip Bayless was there instead.
Let's not talk about him.
Yeah, let's skip over that. Another thing that crossed my mind is, like, I think he would have been, like, interested to play with Anthony Davis. Although New Orleans is definitely not the type of market he wants to play in. I think he wants to play in a bigger NBA market. And on top of that, the Pelicans have, like, no cap space. But it would have been an interesting team if he had, like, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousin, and him. But that'd be just not enough room in the paint to hold all those players that are driving to the rim.
Though, at the same time, if he actually told Cleveland management he wants to go there, they could arrange a sign and trade for DeMarcus. DeMarcus Cousins for LeBron James, that would be an interesting deal. But, of course, that's never going to happen. But him and AD would be unbelievable.
Yeah, LeBron with any big who's actually scaled would be pretty impressive. I think it's time to move on, man. Do you guys have any last words about these finals? Anything you want to end with here?
I'm sad it's over.
Yeah,
and if it wasn't for a suspension in, you know, game 5 with Draymond Green, it would have been 4 in a row.
Let's move on, guys. I think I want to quick touch on something really quick because, you know, as Canadians, we've obviously had had this guy stuck in our minds for the last couple of months. But Jerry Stackhouse is now off the radar as the Raptors head coach candidacy continues to go on, I guess. He recently signed a deal to be the assistant head coach with the Memphis Grizzlies. So I guess the Raps coaching search has boiled down a bit longer now. You got Nurse and
Torrey Messina.
Yeah, there you go, Messina. Yeah, it's dialing down. Hopefully it'll come to an end soon, but yeah.
Yeah, Messina's been long rumored to be a top head coaching candidate in a lot of places the last 3 years as being, you know, one of Pop's top, you know, assistant coaches. And he's long been revered as like a guy who's brought, you know, the European flair into, the, you know, the Spurs offense, and a guy that eventually is going to be a really good head coach. But for the Raptors, I don't really think it matters who they bring in next year because it's going to be a transition year for them anyway. They're sort of stuck with this roster based on Serge and Lowry's huge contracts. And whatever happens, you know, this offseason with the coaching, I think they're going to end up being, you know, a 5-7 seed no matter what happens.
Yeah, I think that the Raps should decide who they're going to have as their head coach sooner rather than later, because right now they're, even though they may not have been interested at all in Jerry Stackhouse, I think that you're coming from a position of weakness if many of the candidates you were rumored to be interested in start signing elsewhere. And at the end of the day, you're not instilling much confidence if you are interested in Nick Nurse and he's sitting there in front of you for the last month and a half and you haven't really hired him. Like, you're kind of hiring him after a month and a half. Why were you waiting? Like, were you not that convinced? Were you hoping that another coach became available? It starts to open up like a lot of questions that I have, and I think most fans would. And at the end of the day, I know that Nick Nurse isn't the same coach as Dwayne Casey, but I think they're cut from the same cloth, and he was there during the Casey era. So I think if things don't go so well, then fans are going to be very quick to turn around on his hiring if he ends up being the coach of the Raptors. So sooner rather than later, and at the end of the day, I don't think the Raps are in a strong position going into next season.
Yo, I just wanted to touch on something that Josh had brought up between the Lowry and the Ibaka contracts. Do we think that Brian Colangelo's wife was correct by saying Masai isn't that good? Giving out those crazy-ass contracts to those two kind of players?
No, I mean, like, Lowry's contract isn't that bad for what he provides. He was good this year, and he was really good in the playoffs, too. And he's only on 3 years instead of the max is what he wanted, with 5 years, you know, $150 million or whatever it was. So I think that contract's actually pretty good. It's just he's obviously like 31 or 32 years old now. But Ibaka, who, you know, is supposedly 29 years old, who many people think is a little bit older, obviously this year he didn't really show up at all. And he looks like he's worn down and a guy that is going to be a bench player in the upcoming years. So his contract looks a lot worse. But again, in, you know, next offseason, I think that things are going to change around to where they just have obviously 1 year left on their contract. So Masai will have more flexibility to do what he wasn't able to do a couple of years ago and recreate the roster as he actually wants and overhaul it. Because I think that Rudy Gay trade just put them in a position where he couldn't get out of that roster that just sort of came out of nowhere and became a top three seed for a couple of years in a row. So hopefully now we'll actually see what kind of team that he wants to mold together in the next couple of years.
Yeah, again, playing in a conference with LeBron James and not being able to go into the luxury tax like many of the other teams puts you in a position where you're a little handicapped. And I wouldn't say that Masai's been crazy successful in Toronto, but I think he's made some very good roster moves. And at the end of the day, that the roster is shaping up to be a strong roster. And this year they were the number one seed. Their bench played incredible. And most of those players that were on the bench unit were players that Masai had brought in. So I have to give him a lot of credit in that sense. And at the end of the day, you're playing in a market like Toronto. And although it is one of the biggest markets in the NBA, it's hard to recruit players. Like, you're not playing in New York. You're not playing in LA. You're not playing in like Texas where the weather is just gorgeous like year round, 365 days a year. So, I think he's done a good job. I think the next couple of years where he's going to have to make, again, tough decisions on how he's going to go forward with this team, who they're going to hire as a head coach will determine kind of his legacy in Toronto. But let's not get into what Brian Colangelo's wife was talking about.
All right, I think we got to take it back, man. We haven't done one of these segments in a long time, but I think we got to take it to the bank. So for all our listeners, you guys remember that Take It to the Bank is where we, you know, throw in some hot takes, what we think is the hottest take that we can provide, and, you know, obviously either rip each other up or, you know, just side along with them. And if you guys don't mind me starting first, I'm going to go out there and say that LeBron and Tyreke Evans are going to be teammates next year. I know you haven't heard Tyreke Evans' name being muttered in a while, considering he was on the Grizzlies this year and they obviously weren't very good. But Tyreke was, what, like 19-5-5 this year? It's pretty good. He's learned how to shoot a three. You know, he's obviously a good distributor since he was a younger player. And he actually seems hungry again. And he's exactly the kind of player that LeBron would have needed in the finals or any of the playoff series this year, to be honest. But especially in the
finals. Wait a second. So you're saying the poor man's LeBron James is going to follow LeBron James to wherever he goes?
Hell yeah.
This is the most confusing take I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, man. He's literally what LeBron needed.
So does that mean that Evan Turner is going to get bought out and follow the poor man's LeBron James with LeBron James dead man's LeBron James?
No. Let's relax. Evan Turner is barely in the league right now, other than his like stupid contract. But Tyreke Evans is actually good. This guy had a nice comeback this year, man.
I think that Tyreke Evans proved this year that he's a good stats, bad team guy. Like, he's, like, in the Hall of Fame for that kind of player.
Up there with Ricky
Davis.
Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
No, man, that's what they said about Kevin Love, too. And then look at Kevin Love in Cleveland. He was actually really good.
No. Kevin Love was on a whole nother level than Tyreke Evans. Tyreke Evans has been good for 2 years. His rookie year, where he was 25-5, and then this year, where he was on a, what, 22-win team? And the Sacramento team that he was on, he was like a 25-win team.
It's not his fault that Memphis just like fired Fizdale within 2 weeks and then sat all their players.
No, but it just goes to show you that he can't be like a main cog on a team that's going to be a winner.
Oh, come on, man. You're throwing the guy out real early. Like, how old is he now? Like 20, 27, 28? He's not that old.
Yeah.
He's pretty much
in his prime right now. I just don't think that he's a guy that you can count on throughout the season to bring consistent production and be like a number two, even like a number three guy. He's sort of like, actually, no, he's more like the poor man's DeRozan in a lot of ways.
Okay.
He
over dribbles. He runs out the shot clock. He takes a lot of bad shots. I mean, he's really strong as hell, and he gets to the basket, but he's, I don't know. I've just never been a fan of his.
You're so disrespectful, man.
Hey, when Tyreke Evans makes the playoffs, you let me know, okay?
Josh, let's hear your hot take.
I actually didn't have anything prepared as of yet, but I'm going to say that the Toronto Raptors are going to be lucky to make the playoffs next year.
Sorry.
You want a hot take? There's your hot take.
Oh my
goodness. I think that they're going to have some like role issues. I think that the team's going to change a little bit in the offseason to where like a guy like Valanciunas might get traded. Make a trade for a couple second-round picks and maybe a player. And I don't know. I see Ibaka's role being a big issue next year because I don't really think he's good enough to start anymore. And then if that's going to be an issue, like is Siakam going to take the majority of the minutes where Ibaka's going to be angry and create a whole rift throughout the team? I don't know. And also you have Van Vliet possibly leaving in the offseason as well. So there's a lot of roles that are going to be changing, a lot of moving parts. And honestly, with one injury to a key guy, I think that things could change a lot in Toronto. And plus, with what they've had to go through the last two postseasons, I think that could negatively affect the team going forward as well.
Barely in the playoffs.
Is this some like weird type of like reverse psychology where you're going to like secretly hope they make the NBA Finals and win? Or is this like an actual prediction that you think they're going to be a borderline 8-9 team?
No, this is me saying that they're probably not going to make the playoffs this year as a hot take because the Raptors cynic in me is just coming out after getting swept in the playoffs by Cleveland again.
This is a very hot take.
As a player, coming back to the same roster, or basically the same roster for, what, the third or fourth straight year in a row, and you're looking at it, you're going to probably see LeBron in the East again, but even if not, you have a Boston team that's coming up right now that you're clearly worse than, and then Philadelphia, whether they get LeBron or not, is going to be way better than you as well. So it's like, what are we even playing for? We're going to make the playoffs and be playoff fodder again and go through the exact same issues as we always have. So unless they get Greg Popovich as a coach, which is not going to happen, I don't know. I just foresee bad things in the future for Toronto for next year anyway. And then the offseason after that, again, I think Masai is going to make some huge changes. See, my tank is smoking hot. The police are in the back and the sirens are going right now.
My God, man.
They're after you, man.
Jesus. That's...
Someone call the fire department, man. Tay is on fire.
Wow, that's... Well, I didn't know how to react.
Well, I'm going to be a little less doom and gloom than Josh, and I'm going to say that two big men... I'm going to give you two hot takes, Peter, because we haven't done this segment in a while. The first one is I don't think Kevin Love's going to be playing for the Cavs next year. I think he's out the door, actually more so than LeBron. Because if they decide to keep LeBron on, I think that they need to get rid of Love and look to bring in more pieces to help LeBron stay. And if LeBron does leave, then I think that Cavs go into full rebuild mode and really realize that Kevin Love's a player that is not going to offer them as much as them building for their future. And then another big man, I don't know if it's, this is so much of a hot take, but I don't see Boogie staying in New Orleans. I think that he's going to ask for max contract, and for a player that's coming off Achilles heel injury, I think the Pelicans are going to hesitate to commit max to him, and I think he's going to hit the free agent market. So two big men, they're not going to be playing on their former teams. I have no idea where they're going, but they're not going to be where they're currently at.
Yeah, if LeBron doesn't re-sign, then Kevin Love is definitely gone. That whole Cleveland team is just going to be like made over. But if he does stay in Cleveland, I think Love stays. And they have to find like a big who can just protect the rim a little bit better, or who's like a little bit more mobile. Basically a Tristan Thompson who's actually good and shows up.
Yeah, I can see them taking a flyer on like a guy like Nerlens Noel. I think a lot of teams are going to be looking at him as like, you know, a guy that's only going to be making between $1 and $5 million. Take a flyer on him and see what happens. I think he's like severely underrated as long as he gets the right coaching. I mean, Carlisle's obviously an amazing coach, but there was rumors that, you know, Dallas and Mark Cuban was trying to limit his value to get him to sign a cheaper contract by not playing him as often during the regular season. So if that was their plan, it definitely worked. But he's obviously very immature with all the stuff that came out about him and, you know, in his off time about wrecking different houses that he was living in. And... being a huge drinker off the court as well, so he obviously has maturity issues. Yeah, exactly. So he obviously has some issues in terms of maturity, but he's a guy that could be a defensive stopper on the right, in the right situation. But yeah, in terms of Boogie, I can also see him leaving New Orleans because they're not going to offer him a max contract. And I don't think any other team is going to either. I see him, you know, getting a contract sort of like what Kyle Lowry got, and then he'll get like 2 or 3 years, and then he'll get $30 million a year, like a pretty good number. But he's not going to get 4 or 5 years based on what just happened to him and having that Achilles injury.
Yeah, what about Montrezl Harrell on Cleveland, if LeBron stays, obviously?
He's not a rim protector, man. He's just an inside scorer. He's sort of like Capella, but without the defense. He's just a role guy.
Really? I thought he was a decent defender.
No, not really. He's an energy guy. He's not a guy that can play center for you consistently. Like, he gets bullied a lot, too, when he plays bigger center, which is basically anybody, because he's only 6'7".
Is he a rich man's Kenneth Faried?
Without the rebounds, I guess. You know what he reminds me of? DeJuan Blair. He's sort of like DeJuan Blair. Oh, he'll catch in traffic and finish over guys, even though he's only 6'7". He just finds ways to score, you know? And he's strong. But he's not a guy that can start for you.
Going way back in the vault with DeJuan Blair, man. Damn.
Yeah, Mr. No Knees.
Yeah, I could see Boogie get like leaving this summer too, but where would he go? Like,
I want to see a sign and trade with him to Washington, get Gortat back, and maybe Otto Porter or whatever, and just have him run with Beal and Wall. That'd be amazing. Oh,
that'd be so good. It would have to be Porter just to make contracts match up, right?
Yeah, you would think so. Unless Boogie, you know, doesn't get as much money as everyone thinks he's going to get, which is also possible.
Yeah. Him and, man, that UK connection between Boogie and Wall would be unbelievable to watch again.
Yeah, and the thing with Boogie, too, with that injury, I mean, again, with New Orleans maybe not offering him a max contract and him being pissed off at them and going into a market where only five teams right now have cap space, unless they just dump a bunch of bad contracts or a bunch of contracts to like get a guy like LeBron or even Boogie or whoever that's on the table, it's going to be hard for him to get what he wants from those teams because most of those teams are rebuilding as well. So it's going to be hard for, you know, find a situation that fits him. In a situation where like this team is either a contender or a team that might be making the playoffs coming up, because I can also see him take like a 1-year deal with New Orleans and just playing out the season and showing that he is still valuable and one of the better big men in the NBA, and then maybe next offseason he goes for another 4 or 5 year contract.
No, I think he wants to get paid now.
Yeah, but the problem is he's not going to have any suitors, right? So he's either going to have to be signed and traded, or he's going to have to go back to New Orleans and take like a 3-year deal, I think.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea to do the 1 year just to even just like get your legs back under you, right? Sort of prove your worth again, and then bang, next year just really demand the max, like hard at the free agency.
Or you could do what KD and LeBron have been doing the last couple of years and just doing like the 1-in-1 deal where there's a player option for the second year. They'll do like a, you know, get a $30 million deal for the first year. Second year, you can either choose to opt out and if he plays well. Or if he gets injured again or just doesn't look good, he can just take the option for the second year and play it out.
Yeah, I don't think New Orleans would offer that, though. Because the only reason LeBron and KD can do it is because they're so good and they can hold the team ransom. Especially LeBron, but even KD. Boogie is nowhere close to holding the Pelicans ransom.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, the Pelicans need to re-sign him. Raj said before in the podcast, like, they have no cap space, so... If they don't re-sign him, they're basically losing him for nothing, and then you can't use whatever money you're going to give to him to somebody else because you have no cap space. All you have is his bird rights, and he's restricted, obviously. So you need to re-sign him, obviously, in order to keep the team together, and then he maybe, you know, if he comes back healthy, you can trade him for another piece.
All right, before we wrap up, guys, I want maybe give me one or two headlines from this year that like really stick out to you. For me, personally, number one has to be, like, J.R. Smith throwing soup at a coach, obviously. Not knowing how it happened, what kind of soup it was, if it was cold or a hot soup, or like where to hit the coach. But man, to be someone who throws soup at another person in general, it's just crazy.
Another human being.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Oh.
Yeah, that is so rude.
Right? It makes no sense. And like, did J.R. have a shirt on, obviously? I need to know these things. But that was mine, man.
Like, and did he get kicked out of the restaurant? That's what I also want to know.
It could have not been the restaurant. It could have just been, like, in their cafeteria. You know what I mean? What if it was in the locker room? What if he just had, like, soup to go and was like, oh, like, screw this guy and just toss it at him? And who was the coach? Was it Damon Jones?
Yeah, it was.
Was it actually?
It was.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So then it makes you wonder, like, Damon Jones is, like, one of LeBron's best friends, so I would have liked to see LeBron's face after that happened if he actually went after JR to stick up for Damon.
Yeah, maybe he should have broke his hand earlier in the year.
No kidding. Just bitch-slapping JR.
It's foreshadowing for everything that was going to come in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, Raj, what's your headline here?
All right, well, I'm going to go to a more recent event, and it was in the playoffs, and I had probably nothing to do with basketball, just like J.R. Smith in the suit, but Colangelo's burner accounts, that's something straight out of House of Cards or a TV series. Like, you couldn't make up a story that ridiculous. And to know that it took like a good almost 8 days for them to, 8 or 9 days for them to officially let go of Colangelo and know what really went down when Twitter was to figure it out in like 2 days. That has to be probably my storyline of the year. We probably won't hear that one ever again.
Yeah, just the fact that in his statement, his exit interview statement, he just threw his wife under the bus as well. Yeah. Like, having to go home to that afterwards, like, what are you doing, man? Like, I know you're trying to get another job in the NBA, but after this happened, nobody believes that you didn't have some involvement. And then you have to go home to your wife after that, and she's going to kick your ass, son.
Yeah, these dudes ain't loyal, man. But to be fair, she lives in Toronto, so, you know, he doesn't have to go home to her. He can just stay in Philly and chill with his pops.
Yeah, this just shows you can't trust anybody with high collars. High collared shirts.
I want to know how high it is. Like, how big are his collars compared to everyone else?
If you saw the most recent game of Zones.
It's massive. It's like a funnel.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you couldn't even see his head.
Oh, man. All right, Jay, what's yours?
For me, it was just like the rise of the 76ers, honestly. Because as a person who makes, you know, future bets before the season started, I looked at their line of like 40.5, or in some markets, 41.5 wins for the season. And I just said to myself, like, this is an immediate lock for the under based on how many games I won the previous season during the process year. So just with them winning 52 games and making the second round of the playoffs in a situation where they're expected to win that series, like, they took a huge step up. And it sort of compares to OKC with Russ and KD going from, I think they had 25 wins. And they went the next year and they won 47 and almost, you know, took the Lakers to, I think, 5 or 6 games. And the year afterwards, they beat the Lakers. So I just see their, you know, their huge rise coming. And I think next year, whether or not they get LeBron, they have, you know, they have cap space, they have picks coming up. They have Fultz, who's actually hitting threes in their, you know, practice videos now. So they have, you know, great future ahead. And as a lot of reporters have said, like, a lot of GMs are looking into their contracts with their current team and trying to get out of it in order to get to this GM spot. So they have, you know, very bright days ahead. And I think next year they're going to be probably a top 2, if not top 3 seed again. And they might end up making the conference finals, if not the NBA finals, with those two guys and a good supporting cast.
Yeah, I was an unfortunate victim of that over-under bet, and it hurts. I'm glad to see them doing well, but man, that bet really killed me. I'm surprised that Embiid and Simmons both played, like, the full season. You know what I mean? I think that was where the concern was whether their two rising stars could actually stay healthy for the full 82. And they were pretty healthy overall, right? Like, Embiid went down towards the end of the year with that, like, freak injury on Fultz's shoulder, but otherwise, he was pretty good.
Yeah, and their maintenance program worked, obviously, with sitting him out most of the season in back-to-back games until, like, 4/5 of the way through the season where they actually started playing him a little bit in back-to-backs. So I know that he wanted to play as much as he could throughout the year, but with what they were doing with that preventive maintenance program, it worked. So it's going to be interesting to see if they actually do the same thing next year on back-to-backs.
So I just wanted to throw out a couple of more before we head off here. I wanted to shout out the Rockets and the Clippers tunnel fight. Or the alleged tunnel fight, and using Clint Capella as like a decoy so that Chris Paul could be in the back room.
It's too bad later on that was debunked, though. Reporter that I know, but the story itself was amazing.
Yeah. And then, like, the best, it was funny, but the best part by far was, like, Chuck and Shaq just ripping into them afterwards in the post game. Like, their impersonations of Blake Griffin calling the cops was so funny, man.
Hey, this is Blake Griffin. Chris Paul tried to get in the locker room. Get down here and save me.
Is that when Mirotić getting clocked in the nose by his own teammate during a practice? And then this making them, like, the most unbeatable Bulls duo in, like, 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, that winning streak was one of the weirder things that has happened throughout the course of the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's weird as hell. And Mirotić, man, wow, what a season this kid has had. And obviously, to start the whole year, we had the Eric Bledsoe "I don't want to be here" tweet, saying that he didn't want to be at his wife's, like, hair salon, but obviously no one believes that. All right, guys, well, I guess that's about it for now. It's been a pretty good NBA season, lots of stories, and a pretty dull finals, but overall, I think it was pretty good run while we had it. We're going to keep these going during the summer. You know, there's still free agency. We're going to have some draft talk coming up soon, so just stay tuned, everybody. Make sure you rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those. Twitter and Instagram at Stretch4Podcast. And that's about it, guys. Until the draft. Peace.